Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
NFL Sunday.
NFL Sunday is brought to you by
Ketch's Law Group, the personal injury pros at ketcheslaw.com.
The New England Recovery Center in Westboro, Mass.
Zuti, build any app your company needs in 1 week. Visit Zuti.com for details.
And the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers. Time now for NFL Sunday, broadcasting from the best yet private brand studio.
With Super Bowl champions Christian Fourier and Jermaine Wiggins, alongside Andy Gresh and Rich Keefe.
NFL Sunday is brought to you by
Ketch's Law Group, the personal injury pros at ketcheslaw.com. The New England Recovery Center in Westboro, Mass. Zuti, build any app your company needs in 1 week. Visit Zuti.com for details. And the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers.
NFL Sunday
with Fourier, Wiggy, Gresh, and Keith on WEEI.
All right, we start the second half of NFL Sunday from Howl at the Moon here at Splitsville at Patriot Place. 1 o'clock, Patriots and the Cleveland Browns here at Gillette Stadium. And one of the guys who won't be playing for either the Browns or the Patriots is Odell Beckham Jr. Odell Beckham, of course, worked out his release from the Cleveland Browns, wasn't claimed by anybody on waivers, and chose the Los Angeles Rams, which was an interesting choice and one of the teams that people like Diana Russini and others did missed. Not mention.
Just missed.
I figured I'd get that in there
yeah,
to make
Keith
smile.
Didn't have any of it, right?
Ian Rappaport, who, of course, joins Gresh and Keith at 10:45 every Thursday here on the WEEI Sports Radio Network, talking about how Odell went to the Rams on NFL Network.
Odell Beckham Jr. joins a very star-studded Rams team already. Only adds to that, he gets a one-year deal worth up to $4.25 million. It took a little bit. He had at least five teams making an offer for him. In the end, though, it came down to the two teams he really targeted from the beginning, the Green Bay Packers and the Los Angeles Rams. The Packers had an offer for the minimum. That's it. That's all they could do based on where they are salary cap-wise. Had the Packers upped their offer, maybe he'd be in Green Bay right now, maybe. But the Rams, specifically the Rams players, did a great job of recruiting him, and Beckham lands with the Rams.
Now, since Robert Woods has torn his ACL in
crazy.
L.A., because it looked like Odell Beckham was going to be the third of three receivers, completing a set, and now it's at two now. The whole Odell thing. So, I mean, pillar to post, right? He left, why he left, where he went, he didn't come here, all of that. Just somebody go.
It never felt like he wanted to be in Cleveland, right? Like, I think he was good leaving the Giants, and then he goes to the Browns, and it never really worked out. And just like Baker Mayfield, a bunch of different coaches, a bunch of different offensive coordinators, all this stuff. Then he gets hurt last year, and they win a playoff game without him. And you're like, all right, like, this doesn't seem to be a fit. He finally forces his way out, but it was right after the trade deadline, so the Browns missed an opportunity to trade him. I don't know if they tried or not. And then as soon as they waived him, and Wiggy, I know you agreed with me on this, the only way the Patriots were going to get him was if they claimed him off waivers. That's because Mac Jones versus Aaron Rodgers versus Matthew Stafford versus Patrick Mahomes, it just wasn't going to happen. The Rams are more likely to win a Super Bowl. The Rams, it's more likely for him to have a monster season, to get a big payday. So he actually went to a team that is going to make him look good and is one of the Super Bowl contenders. So, I mean, I think it worked out pretty well for Odell Beckham.
You didn't have the quarterback power to get him. And no. They're going to get him. Sean McVay will get him the football there. He'll throw the football. He'll get him his 8 targets a game. That's what they'll do. And yet now that, like you said,
especially
now that Robert Woods is done for the season, he'll get it. And it came down to we know Odell loved Belichick, but it came down to you didn't have the quarterback star power to get Odell Beckham, and that's really what it is. And the only way you were going to get him is claim off waivers, which I don't know why you didn't do that, because the AFC is so wide open, and you have a legitimate chance to play in the AFC Championship.
Yeah.
If you would have got Odell Beckham. I'm not saying you still can't do that, but your chances of getting to that game are far greater with him than without him.
See, the thing is, like, I remember Mortensen was, like, laughing about the whole L.A. thing. Like, oh, he wants the glitz. Like, yeah, I think that played a big role in it.
And his buddy LeBron is out there.
I feel like it did play a big role in it.
His girl's out there.
No, and that's – but I feel like he wants to be part of the L.A. scene, okay? And if you win – and too bad, you should have went to SC. You should have went to. You should have played basketball for UCLA. You should play basketball for the Lakers. Okay, then you'll be part of the scene. Like as far as the hierarchy goes in the city of Los Angeles for professional sports, it's Lakers, it's Dodgers, it's USC football, then maybe the Rams.
Oh wow!
So that's the way it goes. So, but I feel like that had a lot to do with it. But again, I don't think this guarantees the Rams anything. I don't think it guarantees them a thing. I think if Robert Woods was there. It would now. Really, how much better have they gotten there? I feel
like now
they're worse.
Worse. I think Beckham might be a better receiver than Woods, but not by much. And Woods is comfortable in the offense. So you're right. So maybe it's going to take him a minute to get
ready.
Now
let's force the issue.
I just find it very interesting that even and I'm not picking on you, Wiggs, but you just organically say, well, Sean McVay will make sure he gets his 9 touches, and this quarterback will make sure he does this and da da da. And we just say that so flippantly.
I think it's a mistake, isn't
like,
it, though?
Yeah, that's never happen here, period. Would never. And even Tom Brady with the receivers that he has. Like,
what about Randy Moss?
No, but here's
the
thing.
What about Antonio Brown?
Hang on. Well, that we know how
but you're
well
not
that worked
promising
out.
Them anything.
No, but
AB got here. They force-fed AB in Miami.
But when we say it. It was much different with Tom Brady here versus the young, impressionable quarterback.
Who hasn't scored a touchdown?
But when you just think about it, we're he got into Baker Mayfield's head. Who cares? Bring him here because he's talented.
Right.
He's a guy who demands the football, and there's the right way to go about it, and there's the wrong way to go about it. When you mentally break your quarterback, it's a part of our questions as to whether Baker Mayfield is a real franchise guy. To the point of what Andy made, and I'm with him, that's a lot to put on this rookie. And then there is that everybody here will be screaming, how come you're not just finding a way to target him 11 times a game? And my Brady point was going to be, and I've learned this with Rich and Scheim in fantasy, there's one week where Mike Evans has one catch for 15 yards, and then they cut. Brady doesn't force the ball to any of them, but it feels like, well, if you get Odell here, by God, you better force him the ball 10 times.
But your point doesn't hold up when we've seen it here this year. We literally just talked about it 35 minutes ago with Tommy Curran, how they try to force feed Jonnu Smith in the Chargers game. So that's what they do. When you got a player.
But is Jonnu Smith going to wreck the quarterback by not getting by being in his ear, which Odell has done twice now?
We are not talking about that. We're talking about, you said Josh McDaniels is not going to do that. They did it with Antonio Brown, and granted, it was Brady. They did it with Jonnu Smith. They force-fed him the football to try to get him going.
Have they done that every week since?
They've done it with Jacoby
Myers.
Smith
has been hurt.
Jacoby Myers, every time they get to the red zone, they force-feed him the
ball. Well, they
got to
throw it to somebody.
And that's where Beckham comes in. Like, I think you can say whether you force 8 targets or you organically get 8 targets or whatever, you wouldn't bring in a guy and have him be your number one receiver and not utilize him. But to Wiggy's point, of course the Rams are going to do a better job. Who leads the league in passing yards? Matthew Stafford.
Right.
Who's second in passing touchdowns? Matthew Stafford.
Three wide receiver sets, all that. Yeah.
That offense is just better. Like, it's just what it is. So the only other place would be playing with Brady in Tampa, but they already have the 3 number one receivers on their team.
And your number one receiver is Jacoby Myers, and they force feed him the football. So if your number one receiver now is Odell Beckham, who's better than Jakobi Meyers.
So when you say force feed him the football, if I went and looked right now, Jakobi Meyers would have the most targets on the football team. Because
yes.
when you say force feed the football,
yeah, he would have the
that
most...
means you're throwing it to him whether he's covered or not. You don't care.
He would have the most targets. I want to bet you Jakobi Meyers has the most targets on this football team. I bet he probably averages...
Well, he also has the most catches, so I think that's a...
But I bet he probably averages about seven targets a
game. It's the chicken versus...
He has by far the most targets. He has 72.
Who's second?
Nelson Aguilar with 42.
Right, so here you go. He's at 72. How many games have they played?
Nine.
So do the math. How many is that a game? What, seven or eight?
And is that enough for that guy to have come here and shut his mouth? Because he's been on teams that we thought were the Giants that were going to be really good, on a playoff team last year, all that stuff. And it's to the point to where their quarterback got so mentally fragile over it in Cleveland that you had to get rid of the guy.
Odell Beckham averages seven targets throughout his career. His best year of targets was his first year. He had 10 targets. So he's a guy that's right around seven targets a game anyway.
But I also think it was really more of a recent thing. He wasn't a bad teammate for 3 years.
No.
It really kind of got ugly there at the end, and you have his dad on Instagram, you have LeBron on Twitter, and all that nonsense, and I think he just saw, like, all right, now's the time to get out. But
kind of the same with the Giants, by the way, where it started off well, and then in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
so
Eli was on the decline.
But that's another reason why I was in favor of bringing him in now, because you're not signing him to a 5-year deal. Well, you're not on the hook for $20 million a year.
It's short.
It's a prove it, and it's sort of a you need these eight games to convince some other team to give you a long-term
and
deal.
What does Mac Jones have that Baker Mayfield doesn't have?
Well, he has a coach that will tell people to
shut
up. An
SEC championship.
Or let me rephrase it like this. What does Baker Mayfield have that Mac Jones doesn't have that would make it work?
Heisman.
No, he has – Baker Mayfield has a big ego. Mac Jones doesn't.
I think Mac Jones would be able to deal with a big-time personality. I think he absolutely would be fine with it.
So when Odell's yelling at him, hey, get me the football, Mac Jones is going to go, okay, I'll get you the football.
I think it's ridiculous to think that this guy wouldn't have unbelievably helped this team. I think it's borderline just ridiculous. Instantly.
Right.
100%. As soon as he walked on the field, instant credibility, instant playmaking ability, impact plays. Everybody's probably – all the other guys are probably so happy.
Right.
I don't get the best corner anymore. Sweet.
Well, think about last week when they were playing against Stephon Gilmore, and not that he played 100% of the snaps, but going up against him, you're like, who would Gilmore match up against? And you're like, well, the Patriots don't really have a guy. Like, they don't really have one. But now going forward, every top corner would say, all right, you're lined up with Odell, and then everybody else's job is easier.
How easy it was for Gilman to intercept that pass on Jakobi Meyers.
Okay, so that gets to the question of, was this situational? Was the Patriots' interest in Odell Beckham because he was cut, he was in a way singing for his supper in terms of the contract? So was it the value that Bill Belichick and crew were in on, or was it the spot that needs to be filled? And this little chase of Odell Beckham is an indication that in the draft there will be a look for, or in free agency, you'll be looking for the quote-unquote number one wide receiver.
I don't know.
Hope it's not in the draft.
Yeah, they've already done that.
I don't think this automatically means that they want to go spend more money on wide receivers. I feel like they just did it.
Right.
So like it's like I feel like this is the same group. There was a unique opportunity.
It was like when they brought Josh Gordon.
Yeah,
it was very
unique
similar.
Opportunity.
Yeah.
Let's see if it'll work. Well, he's a talented player. Like, let's not act like we don't want to take another good player.
It's the Antonio Brown
situation. But it just financially, I don't think it worked out.
I think it did financially.
No, no, for Odell Beckham Jr. to come here?
No, yeah, they weren't going to claim him because they didn't want to go
7.25.
And then they just weren't going to get him.
But I think the number that he got in L.A., I bet you that was a very similar number that was being offered to him here. I don't think they
want... Oh, I completely disagree.
They want deals.
No, they love
were
a
like,
value.
They were like Green Bay. Here's your minimum. Yeah. You can choose to come here or not.
Yeah. No, I bet, because if you look at the deal he's got in the for the Rams, it's basically the veteran minimum and $3 million in incentives.
Right.
But he
might not have gotten the incentives.
No, I bet he would have gotten the incentives.
Here?
They gave Antonio around $10 million.
No, they gave him nine guaranteed, but up to 15.
Right, right. So,
but that's also for a full season. No, so you got to cut it.
And it was also Tom Brady pushing that, too.
But it doesn't matter. Odell got I think it was 1.2. It was a 507 base salary. And then
I would have done it too. I'm not arguing against you.
No, but I bet you they gave him that deal because it came down. We even heard Ian Rappaport talk about it. He had offers on the table, and I bet you the offer here was good, but he looked and goes, that quarterback is not really what I want. I got a better option in Matthew
this
Stafford.
This feels like a very big reach of making a contractual point about Bill Belichick to slam Mac Jones.
No, I'm not.
Because it's very out of context for Bill Belichick that he would have given a less sneed deal to a player.
But even if he did, he would have chosen the Rams.
That's
probably
my point.
So.
But that's my point. Yeah. The point was...
But when you say you guarantee that Belichick made the offer, that makes it really sounds like you're digging in that is a dig at Mac.
I'm saying if I had to bet my last dollar on, and if I can know exactly what the offer was, I'm willing to bet my last dollar it was very similar to what the Rams gave him, but he chose the quarterback in Stafford.
Yeah, and the offense.
I don't think it was like what what the Green Bay Packers offered him. I think it was very similar to what the Rams offered Odell Beckham with incentives and a base salary of $1.2 million, and he chose the quarterback. That's all I'm saying. Mm. Your quarterback is the reason why you didn't get Odell Beckham.
If we go by Ian Rappaport, the Patriots were never in it to begin with. If it was Packers and Rams, and Beckham was trying to play those
Rob
two Minkovich off of each
said
other.
It. There was an offer on the table.
I think it probably started with five or six teams, and then it went down to two.
Yeah, I don't disagree, Wiggs, that the Patriots made an offer. I just don't think they offered anything. But does this mean that number one receiver is in play whenever they're on the draft board first round?
I think they like the value. April. I don't think they'll draft one in the first round ever again under Belichick. I don't think that'll ever happen again.
Same.
I think they are admitting, though, the fact that they're interested, Nelson Agholor and Kendrick Bourne aren't very good.
They know they need
they
one
They screwed
more.
That up. But they also knew the year before it was even worse, hence they want a free agency. You overpay Agholor and Bourne.
The only way you're getting a free agent is if you get this Odell situation or you get an Antonio Brown situation, because they had an opportunity this year in free agency and they chose to go Agholor and Bourne. They don't want to – next year, Alan.
Who was the big free agent wide receiver signing in free agency?
Julio Jones, maybe.
Well, they traded
Julio Jones. Curtis Samuel's been hurt all year, but I like Samuel a lot more than
I don't remember Aguilar. A wide receiver that was a free agent that is blowing doors and got only a little bit more money.
A lot of them have been traded recently. Diggs and Hopkins. They all got traded in the last couple of years.
You're going to get Allen Robinson, who potentially will be a free agent next year, but Bill's not going to pay him $15 million. I'm not going to pay that.
No, and I do believe there was an obvious deal made. But I don't think it was – I think a lot of it had to do – Bill could have easily approved to – if he had a long conversation with Odell Beckham that this was the right place for him. Like, I believe that they could sell that.
No, I think they could have, too. I think they really could have –
The NFC is tougher, Rich, right? I mean, I feel like that conference overall is harder.
Yep, it is.
Come to the AFC. It's wide open.
It's wide open, and you're the number one. And maybe they don't want to say that to him.
I agree.
Maybe they don't want to just come flat out.
No,
you're
going
to be the one.
But you can play to his ego, though.
I bet you they played to his ego.
We have nobody like you. Why not?
And I bet you they did. He just probably looked and goes, well, listen, Mac Jones is your quarterback.
Wouldn't that be uncharacteristic for Belichick to say that in recruiting a player?
No, I don't think – why would you – you recruiting him.
Right.
You need to tell him that he's good.
Right.
He's good-looking. You know, people want to be around
and
you.
And then as soon as he signs, you can rip him.
No,
but he already signed. You're on the team now. So
that is – it's a lot of ass-kissing. Mm-hmm. Like, it has to be. Even the best, you have to do it. Listen now. You don't have to kiss my ass at all if you throw a bunch of money in front of me. Mm-hmm. But in this situation, when you're – know, I think there's a lot of teams in play and –
that was their best hope. And then there was even that report that Beckham talked to Randy Moss and Aqib Talib about their time in New England. Like, it was that kind of thing that you needed.
He invested.
So
let me
ask everybody this.
All right.
Do you think it's the fact that he did all his due diligence and they kissed his butt, like you said, and then it just came down to they didn't have the quarterback?
Yeah, I think that's the reason.
I think it's the team, though.
Well, I think it's lumped in together.
Overall
it's the
team.
It's the quarterback and the offense.
You have a good defense. You have you're in a good situation. I think there's some doubt with this team as far as how good they can really be, where I think a lot of people are already putting the Rams in the NFC Championship.
If it was 2019 and Tom Brady was here and they were 8-0 and the offense was looking like it was, he would have signed here
in a
immediately.
Second. Dropped his bags and, yes. Well, and everything in camp.
Yeah, but what if they were 5-4 and they were just like they are?
But they had Brady or
they had Brady.
Still.
I think with Brady, he wants to play with Brady.
It's
yeah.
the quarterback.
Yeah, here's the tough thing to figure out with Odell Beckham. What were his motives? Because by going to L.A., it seems like it was about winning.
Yeah.
Like to me, Odell is selfish.
But he can still showcase
selfish.
Himself, though. In L.A., they're going to throw the ball a lot.
But it was much more about, like, I thought contract would matter more, the whole amount of catches would matter more, and that he would be willing to go somewhere that was willing to just bend over and give him everything he wanted. And instead, by choosing with Robert Woods there before Woods got hurt, he was willing to be like, okay, I'll just come in here and fit in.
Yeah,
and I did not expect that from that guy at all.
He went for, I believe this is the best team to get to the Super Bowl and win.
I didn't think about.
I think that is it. I think quarterback, what it didn't matter who it would be.
It's the best team.
Their best position. No, I know. Well, obviously you can't have one without the other. The point is that it was like who was positioned
best. You think the Rams
best?
Are better than the Packers?
I mean, like, I think it's a toss-up.
Yeah, I do. And if those were his two finalists, then that's what he wrestled with. Who are the two best teams?
And obviously Tampa was out of it. But in the NFC, it's really, I feel like it's those three teams.
Yeah.
I can't think of another way. Arizona.
Dallas?
Tampa Bay.
I mean, I don't – Dallas, even hell, one day they'll lose to one crappy team. Next thing you know, they'll –
True.
You know,
yeah, it's probably
somebody.
A four-team race.
By the way, I think Tom Brady is sitting in Tampa laughing at all this. He's like, load up, asshats.
Yeah.
I'm still going to beat you.
Yeah.
It is sort of another whole side conversation about the Rams' roster-building strategy, which I find fascinating. And I'm actually kind of rooting for them because I think a lot of teams overvalue their draft picks. So the Rams don't have any. And so if they find a way to win without any draft picks, but you also become a team that is pretty appealing to the Odell Beckham Juniors and guys like that kind of spring loose from one team. They're like, oh, my God, look at this squad.
I think it would be really cool if back-to-back years – the team that is playing in the Super Bowl is also hosting it.
Right.
Last year, Tampa, first team ever to do that and win it. Rams hosting it at SoFi Stadium. That would be really cool.
And then let's stop talking about the salary cap, too, because not only did you got Von Miller there, you got Aaron Donald,
you
got Jalen
Rams,
Matthew Stafford.
Well, that's why they gave up those. Yeah, I mean, when you give away a second and third round pick to shave $7.5 million onto another team's salary cap to get a player, that's how you get those things done.
Oh, well, Patriots need some of those players.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure Belichick will be jumping right on the Les Snead plan.
I would love to have Von Miller.
NFL Sunday sponsored by Catches Law Group, where you pay nothing unless they win at CatchesLaw.com. Zuti, build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zuti.com for details. The New England Recovery Center in Westboro, Mass. And the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers. Foyer steps away for about a half hour to go do TV. The full list of Patriots and actives will be out next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
More NFL talk, more often. This is NFL Sunday
on WEEI.
It's 11:30, and you know what that means. It's time for the inactives, and the NFL Injury Update is sponsored by the Ketchus Law Group. With offices across New England, Ketchus Law Group has won over $1 billion for their injured clients since 1986. At Ketchus, you pay nothing unless they win. Injured, get a free legal evaluation at KetchusLaw.com or call 508-321-7000. Tight ends and running backs and O-linemen, oh my. Keith, what do we have?
Yeah, well, we knew Damien Harris was going to be out. He did not clear concussion protocol, so Damien Harris, one of the inactives, as is Jonnu Smith.
Oh, ooh. Well, there you go.
He Devin Asiasi is in then, apparently.
And Matt LaCoste. Matt LaCoste was elevated to the active roster, and he's in there. Sean Wade, Ronnie Perkins, Yasir Durant, Jarrett Stidham, who is on the active roster. He's inactive.
Oh,
and
about him.
No Gunner.
No
as
Gunner.
Well. Another one of the three concussions right from last week.
So Stevenson in.
Yep.
Trent Brown up.
Yep.
And in.
J.J. Taylor in.
J.J. Taylor yep. in. And no Jonnu is really the big one.
No so Jonnu Smith.
So the Jonnu Smith thing that I brought up earlier in terms of Matt LaCoste yeah. wasn't tied into maybe using Smith differently. It was sitting him down altogether. And that means Devin Asiasi gets broken out of storage, out of mothballs. Here is the third round pick from last year.
You get nothing from him. The biggest.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I swung and missed on that one. The biggest, I would say, out of all those guys.
Yeah, what are you thinking, Wiggs?
Is Gunner. Because think about how many – Gunner's had a couple of big punt returns.
He's been really good once again returning punts, you know, right. picking up basically a first down for you every time he gets
and
it.
And now your punt returner is Jacoby Myers. He's the one
yeah.
who's been filling in. And
yep.
that's not kind of what he is.
No.
And so I think you're – and Gunner's been big in creating field position for you.
Yeah.
And now you lose that element. I think that's a big loss for you today when you look at the inactive. I think that's more of a loss than Jonnu Smith.
It might be. The way Jonnu Smith is gone, I think you're right, Wiggy. And in a game like this, I think we're all kind of anticipating low scoring. Those special teams plays could
right.
come up huge, you know, that field position thing. And Gunner has been solid. And on top of it, it's Myers and Gresh. I know you've always pointed out how 2 years ago, Mohamed Sanu lining up to return a punt.
Got hurt.
That's what screwed him up, and he was a mess. So when you have guys that aren't used to it, not
yep.
an ideal situation.
Very much so. And Wiggs, I hear your point on Gunner O, and just to kind of drive it home, Gunner Olszewski is second in the
punt
NFL
average, right? yeah.
in punt return yards, and in average, he's at 13.8. However, here's what's interesting.
Wasn't he all pro last year?
He was. Yeah,
he was. But Demetric Felton is the big punt returner for the Cleveland Browns, and he's out today. Now, he's had a couple more opportunities and a little less yards, but he's at 8.4 yards per return. So maybe there is a little bit of a wash. And, Wiggs, don't you think that if your punt returner is out, that if the situation is right, maybe you get more aggressive with your rush, knowing that the guy on the back end is either going to let it go in the end zone or just you're going to call for a fair catch anyway kind of thing.
Well, I think you could see that, especially if you're going if you're a team like – if you're a team like Cleveland and you look at, okay, maybe the punt team, you've had a couple blocks for the Patriots this year where they had some their punts blocked. But if you're thinking, all right, you know what, there's no Gunner back there, Let's see what we can do in the sense of there's a no Gunner. Let's kind of go after some things.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see some of that stuff.
I still think if you take the three biggest inactives for both sides,
uh-huh.
it's still advantage Patriots. So no Damien Harris, no Jonnu Smith, no Gunner.
Okay.
Versus no Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, Tack McKinley. I think the Browns
yeah.
are missing more
yeah,
valuable players than the Patriots, even
right.
though, again, two out of three of those guys for the Pats have definitely been solid for you this year. But the fact that Ramondre Stevenson is healthy makes me feel a whole
well,
lot better.
Not that he's healthy. He's
well,
playing.
Okay, that's fair.
The
fact that he's playing, the fact that he is active.
He's available.
He's available.
There
he'll
you
be
go.
Out there. Well, who knows? Maybe Trent Brown has a little bit of a role today as well. We haven't seen him since week one.
He goes 6-0 linemen
but
at times.
I think you might. Yeah. But no Nick Chubb is so significant.
Oh, yeah,
he and Derrick Henry, the only running backs in the league averaging over 100 yards a game. And he's just so dynamic and just rips off these big plays. You take him out. Kareem Hunt.
Yep.
And, you know, he's been out now for a little while. And then so Dearness Johnson, I know he had one really good game against the Broncos, but I wouldn't expect him to have 150 yards today.
And you also got to be careful for the old – They get rid of Odell, and then they have a great game against Cincinnati Bengals. So they could – you got to be careful that they might be riding high on that and going, all
that's
right.
That's true. Yeah, the game against Cincinnati is a big
division
game. Donovan
Peoples-Jones over the middle.
Right, so yeah, now it's like, hey, we don't have – you know, we don't have the guy that we have to force feed who makes everybody feel weird on the sidelines. Now, Baker, you can go out there and just play football. Mm-hmm. So you can look at that and go, hey, this – is a good opportunity for Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns to go out there and show we are a better team without Odell Beckham, and the fact that both of these teams are basically in the same position.
They definitely are.
It's crazy because every win in the AFC, it's like, is so critical.
It's
because
like two.
It's a four-pointer.
It is.
It absolutely is.
Because so many teams are like, you know, and I had said this to Curtis on the Greg Hill show, I think it might have been Friday, he asked me, do I think the Patriots are one of the top four teams in the AFC? And I said, yeah. Even though then there's...
Yeah. I mean, they might be, yeah, because I think everybody's list is different, you know, because there's 10 teams that are all lumped together.
Right, and so they could be.
I don't think I can narrow it down to four after Tennessee.
No. But not that you have to narrow it down, just the fact to say, are they one of the top four teams? And I think you could make that argument for basically... everybody that is
especially
sitting,
if they win today,
right?
Especially if they win today, I think you'd have to make that case because
then you'd be sitting there going, "Boy, they should be 7-3."
Well, I know you know, but every team has one of those. Like every
they
team
do.
Now
right.
has, like especially after Thursday Night Football with Baltimore losing to Miami, they all have a really bad loss on the season. Because normally by Week 10, I don't think you can say this, but the Pats and the Browns could both win their division or miss the playoffs.
Right. Right.
Like, that's pretty rare. Usually it's like, all right, the division's up for grabs, but you'll fall into the wild card.
And you know what's interesting is you say that, right? So I just looked at the total conference standings right now.
Yeah.
Could we say the same thing about Vegas?
Yep.
Yes.
Could win the division or be out?
That whole West division.
The whole West. Chargers, Kansas City, same thing.
And Denver, I mean, I want to rule Denver out, but they're 5-4 and they just beat the Cowboys, so... every team in that division has a winning record.
Pittsburgh could be that.
Yep.
They could win the division or be out. Kansas City, Cleveland, Cincinnati is. Cincinnati went from the number one seed 2 weeks ago to 10th in the
AFC.
They
feel more likely that they're out, but they're 5-3.
But
they
I look at, like when people go, okay, who are the four best teams in the conference? You go to the NFC, the four best teams.
It's pretty clear cut.
L.A., the Packers,
Tampa
Bay Buccaneers, and Arizona. To me, I think those are the four best teams on that in that conference.
In the AFC.
In the AFC, I think
Tennessee and.
Well, I wouldn't even say Tennessee.
And even them without Derrick Henry, you're like, right. I know they just won last week. So right now, they would be in my four for sure.
Right.
But I wouldn't be shocked if they slipped. Because I like Buffalo, but then they just lost to Jacksonville.
Right.
I like Baltimore, but they just lost to Miami. You have... yeah, it's such a crapshoot that the Patriots could be in that mix.
And maybe what we're realizing is the bad loss isn't a sign of, oh, my God, this team isn't as good. It's more of a sign of the season.
That Miami loss, I truly believe now, really means nothing because every team has had one of those. Right, where they're like,
yeah, they really have.
Buffalo, like you said, Buffalo.
And the Patriots might look a little bit better because that happened week one.
Exactly.
Right. Where if these teams are having it now, you're like, how the hell does Buffalo score 6 points?
Right, and they lose to Jacksonville last week.
So
that's why when I'm looking at the Patriots and I'm looking at today's game and even next week's game, it's every game that you now play because everybody is kind of right there.
Yeah.
These games are so critical. Because it's all, well, you know what? We didn't really drop that far. You lose today, and now maybe three other teams win, and all of a sudden you got leapfrogged.
And it feels like it's definitely coming down to some sort of tiebreaker.
They're
all
going to
be lumped in. And the fact that they already beat the Chargers is huge. They have Tennessee and Indy and obviously Buffalo twice.
Right.
So the schedule sets up. Like, it's right there in front of them. If they beat those teams, they're definitely in.
And somebody in the AFC is going to get a tie, which is going to completely just make our heads explode.
It'll be Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh feels like the tie team this year.
My focus would be Buffalo, 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 Buffalo.
Yeah, those two games with Buffalo, that definitely could be the division. Where 2 weeks ago, I thought, you're insane. Because remember when Buffalo dropped, I forgot who they lost to, but they fell to like 4-2.
Mm-hmm.
And people were making the case like, well, the Pats are only two games behind Buffalo.
Right.
I'm like, all right. And then, boom, here they are.
And then I think Buffalo had a game after that, and they went out there and they dominated. I forget who they dominated.
They had a bunch of blowout wins, but then when they – They lose to Jacksonville. It is just
that's amazing.
It
you is. Lose to Jacksonville, what, last week?
Yeah,
9-6. That just goes
because they struggled against, was it Miami? They ended up beating them by like 15. Remember, that was one of the games that we picked on the show.
Yep.
And they showed signs of not being
that
dominant.
Yeah, the first half.
And but they hung on. They beat them. And then they play Jacksonville. And now this week, I think it's Miami, right?
And they just covered against Miami because we had Buffalo.
Oh, no, that's the Jets, I mean, the Jets.
We had Buffalo and Buffalo.
15. There was a push.
Yeah.
Right.
So the Browns inactives are the corner Greedy Williams, safety Richard LeCount III, Tony Fields, a linebacker. Tack McKinley is out along that defensive front. That's big. Another defensive tackle, Sheldon Day, is out for Cleveland as well. And Baker Mayfield is the game captain for the Browns.
Good for Baker. Yeah, because their inactives, their biggest players won't be on the inactive list because Kareem Hunt's on IR.
That's
and Nick Chubb is on the COVID list.
All those cats are already out. Some other news from around the NFL in terms of inactives. According to Rap Sheet, Cam Newton is active today.
Really?
For the Panthers. He still may not play, but maybe in a package of plays.
Got it.
For the Buccaneers, Antonio Brown and Rob Gronkowski are out for those who have been following along.
What about Godwin?
Godwin is in. It's,
okay.
Trask, Adams, Leverett, Brown, Gronk, and Steve McClendon. Up from the practice squad, Brashad Perriman and tight end Darren Fells. Mm. There's a name we haven't heard in a while. Curtis Samuel is inactive for the Washington football
this
team.
This guy's season hasn't even gotten going.
It's pretty interesting, to say the least, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Lions inactive. Jamal Williams, the running back, is out. People have been waiting for him. James Robinson is in the starting lineup for Jacksonville, apparently.
I'll make my changes.
I know people were hanging on that. And for the Bills, now they're playing the Jets. However, their big defensive tackle star, Latuilele, he is out on the COVID list, but linebacker Tremaine Edmonds also out for the Bills as well. So a little soft in the middle, which is something to maybe keep an eye on. And I think that's about it. Oh, Rondale Moore will play. And it's not looking good for Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins.
Wow.
That is according to Mike Fabiano of NFL Network. So there we go. We get you some other inactives as well that might impact your fantasy lineup. Coming up, we're getting closer to kickoff against the Cleveland Browns. And you know what didn't come up this week? Belichick's history with the Browns. And I'm a little surprised. We'll get into that next on NFL Sunday.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
More NFL talk, more often. This is NFL Sunday
on WEEI.
Into the final hour from Howlett-Moon at Splitsville at Patriot Place, right beside Gillette Stadium. The joint is jumping today, boys. I've only seen a couple of Browns fans. I did see a tweet earlier from...
Yeah, in the parking lot, there's a bunch of Browns fans,
I guess Hannibal had mentioned on Twitter, I saw, that a lot of Browns fans here. We had one lady who was in here with, like, the Browns kind of unitard. It was...
Yeah, that was a look. It was. I always enjoy the opposing jerseys that you see, and there's a Myles Garrett and a Baker Mayfield here.
Okay.
So, my, that's not bad.
No, and the one guy who I think was with the... And the one guy who I think was with the lady that had the unitard, I think was a Baker Mayfield as well.
He was Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, it was.
We haven't seen any Brian Sipe or...
No. Eric Metcalf.
That's right. Eric Metcalf. No, Ozzie Newsome.
Kozar.
You forget Ozzie Newsome.
Ozzie Newsome.
Like, Ozzie Newsome has had two Hall of Fame careers, one as a player in Cleveland and the other running the freaking Ravens.
Jim Brown, one as a football player, one as an actor.
Jim, what's your favorite Jim Brown role since
Mars
you're
Attacks.
A big movie guy?
100% Mars Attacks.
I'm going to get you, sucker, was mine.
Okay. There you go. Pretty good.
But, you know, I always look for NFL Network does this. They have a pretty good segment on there. It's like not jerseys or something like that. And it's like people who are wearing the most obscure jerseys ever.
Yeah.
And they'll just like rant, catch them at airports, wherever.
My favorite one for a while in New England is every time I went to a game, I'd always see one Chris Slade.
Oh, like, that's
a great player too, but it was just like kind of forgotten in that shuffle during like the Bledsoe time, and you kind of forgot about him. But there'd always be one walking around. You always had a respect for
him. See, I'm a big jersey guy. You know that because we used to do the Jersey Fridays on the old show.
Mm-hmm.
And I always loved when I'm getting my throwback jerseys, I want to get something where people are like, oh, man.
Yeah.
That's unique. I ain't seen that one.
Yeah, I don't like the ones that everybody has.
So yeah.
All due respect to all the Bradys and Gronks that you see. It's very nice. But I like to go a little bit more deeper in the weeds than that.
If I feel like if I'm going with a Browns jersey, I would go with a 99 Pepper Johnson jersey.
That's a good one.
He wore 99, right?
Yes. I do believe he did. You know what hasn't been revisited this week is Bill Belichick's time in Cleveland. And I got to be honest, I'm a little surprised because I still think that among the deepest hurts the Brown fans have was the fact that not only the team left the city,
like all at once,
but that
like
Belichick
that.
Got tied into all of that as well, and now he's been made a villain because of it.
Just a mess. And then the Ravens 4 or 5 years later win the Super Bowl, and that was your team. That was a lot of your roster.
Right.
And then you don't have a team for 4 years.
And it's Art Modell holding up that trophy, which stung you
more. Oh, yeah. I just think what it comes down to, too, is Belichick's been in the league for so long that – 1995 feels like forever ago.
And
Belichick was in Cleveland for 5 years. And think about how many head coaches come in and out of the league before making it 5 years. Look at this division alone. How many Dolphins, Bills, and Jets coaches are in and out less than 5 years? Bill was there for a little while, won a playoff game, and up until last year, it was the last playoff game that they had won.
It's amazing.
And I also read a stat today that the last time Cleveland beat the Patriots in New England, Belichick was the coach.
Wow. Oh, my God.
I think it was like 92.
Wow.
Now, they don't play here every year, but even still, it's been that long since Cleveland has won in New England.
So
and you can't even say Gillette because a lot of those games weren't even there.
Wow,
92.
Yeah. That early 90s run. And again, it's
was
one of those.
Was Parcells the head coach then?
Was
it Parcells?
So. I think it was. I think it was.
Oh, if it was 92, wouldn't it? Might that have been the last year? Now I'm done.
Now I got to go to the thing.
Because 92, when did Parcells get here?
93, I do believe.
Was it 93?
Yeah, you might be right.
It might have been the last year of McPherson.
Mm. Wow.
Hang on. I got Browns versus Patriots results all time. So let's see.
Yeah, you're right. 93 to 96.
Was Parcells. Okay.
So that game that you're talking about, Rich, in New England that the Browns won was on October 25th, 1992. The final score?
Yeah, what we got?
1917.
That might be today.
That might be
right.
You might get another one of those.
And
just an ugly game.
So the Browns lost here in 2019, in 2013, in 2007. In 2001, 2003.
They had some chances.
My God.
They had some chances.
They do better when you go there. Remember the Peyton – what the hell was
Peyton Hillis?
Peyton Hillis,
yeah.
Remember that one,
you got a Madden cover because of that game.
Wow, yeah, right? He would have about 180 yards,
still
200
running
on the ground.
That guy had the greatest game of his life.
That was it.
That was 2010, and that would have been Mangina as the coach out there.
Yeah, it was.
Because Mangina emptied the tank. Remember they were doing like
field thing too. You kind of throw like even though it's like
no, it does
the bill and like because you got to be thinking Browns fans going oh you would have just hung on to Bill right?
Right.
And now with the Baker Mayfield like this is the first time you had and I'm making air quotes a good quarterback since what Bernie Kosar?
Yeah. They had a good season out of Derek Anderson. I wouldn't call him a good quarterback.
I'm just saying
they had a good season. So you might have to go to Kozar during the very popular Keefe's Keys segment on Friday.
Every Friday.
Baker Mayfield started every game in 19 and 20. The last time they had a quarterback start every game in two consecutive seasons was the early 80s with Brian Sipe. So even when they had a guy, even like Kozar, he would get hurt or miss a game and then come back in, or they would jumble up. And then there was that run.
Come in, fire him.
After Tim Couch, there was just a comedy of quarterbacks that they would bring in there.
And I think that was when Derek Anderson was in that mess, wasn't he? He was a part of that run after Couch.
Was that the year with Romeo? They had like one good year under Romeo, I think.
I keep thinking 07 sticking in my head.
You might be right,
reason.
And it was like, all right, here's
– Is that Derek when Willie went there? I think – Went Romeo Crennel.
Willie went there in 05.
Yeah. And so that's they popped right off, had like one random, I think, I want to say 10-6 season, and then they went right back to the toilet until last year, where they went 11-5 and won a playoff game.
And
so,
this year they look like, you know,
and this year they're in the mix.
Right.
And so to me, even though you may not think either are great for the Browns franchise, Baker Mayfield and Kevin Stefanski, you should try to keep as long as possible. Yeah.
If it weren't for Kevin Stefanski, the best coaches, or you know, you had that run of going to the playoffs,
Romeo,
like
and
the last best coach each team would have been in Gillette Stadium coaching for the Patriots, because people would have been looking back and being like,
well, like,
yeah, Marty had a great run, but Marty Schottenheimer couldn't win anything.
Like you said, like consistent, you know, consistently good runs. I don't know when you look at what Stefanski has been able to do now, if they can have a winning record this year and then make the playoffs.
If they made the playoffs back-to-back years, then the Belichick statue would come down and the Stefanski one.
Yeah, the last time they made the playoffs back-to-back years was 88-89.
Jeez. Wow. My God. Talk about a suffering. I mean, they're not at Red Sox fan level, but there's definitely
Well,
a
they've
lot
never
of
played in a Super Bowl. They've never made the Super Bowl.
Well, that's true. So then I guess they are.
They are. They're worse.
And they can light a river on fire.
Uh-huh.
Better than anybody. Foyer is back. We will go around the NFL to get you ready for week 10 of the NFL season. We are 2 weeks away from Thanksgiving. It's amazing how this thing is flying.
Yeesh.
We are at Howl at the Moon at Splitsville at Patriot Place. Final hour of NFL Sunday next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.